The Summit of the Americas is getting underway today in Panama City, and it is already historic because, unlike in past years, Cuban officials are there. And last night, for the first time in more than a half a century, high-level officials from the U.S. and Cuba met face-to-face. Secretary of State John Kerry sat down with Cuba's foreign minister at a Panama hotel and spoke for 2 hours. That followed a phone conversation between President Obama and his Cuban counterpart, Raul Castro. Joining us now from Panama City is Tim Padgett, America's editor for WLRN, part of the Here and Now Contributors Network. Tim, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you.
And before we get to what's happening today, what more do we know about last night's meeting between Secretary of State Kerry and Foreign Minister Rodriguez?
Well, all we really heard formally was that their talks were productive and long, apparently. And I think what they were working out were some of the details regarding what we think may well happen today, which is the United States taking Cuba off the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism. That's really the last obstacle, I think, to normalizing diplomatic relations between Cuba and the United States. It's the one thing that Cuba has really wanted most. And I think in return for that, I think one of the things Kerry was telling Bruno Rodriguez was that, you know, we want things like our diplomats being able to move freely around Cuba, being able to talk to whatever dissidents, et cetera, that we want to. So I think those were the sort of nuts and bolts things they were hashing out last night. And then we, as I said, we may hear President Obama announce today that he's officially removing Cuba from that terrorism sponsor list.
And Cuba has been on that list for decades, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite a while.
And what got them put on that list in the first place?
Well, back in the Cold War, Cuba was seen as aiding and abetting terrorist groups like the FARC in Colombia, the Marxist rebels in Colombia, Basque separatists in Spain, et cetera. And so the Cuban exile political leadership in the United States was able to convince Washington to put Cuba on that list of state sponsors of international terrorism. You also had the likes of, you know, Iran and North Korea have been on it in the past. But in recent years, most security experts would tell you there really was no reason, no legitimate reason anymore to keep Cuba on that list. The factors were really more political than security-oriented at this point.
The other thing a lot of people are going to be watching for is interaction, possible interaction between President Obama and Cuba's leader, Raul Castro. They did speak on the phone last night, but what are you expecting to see?
Well, I don't think I'm not expecting to see, you know, brotherly love. I don't think we should expect to see bear hugs and that sort of thing. But I do think you're going to see, you know, a cordial handshake, cordial conversation. I think what the image that the both of them want to project is that, you know, just that very word, normalization, that things are getting back to normal between Cuba and the United States, as normal as they can be after more than half a century of essentially freezing each other out and being very bitter Cold War foes. But I think what they want to try to project is that the countries are now at least working together to try to find, you know, some common solutions to these problems that have driven them apart for a half a century.
And Tim, give us a sense of the scene there in Panama City. I know that there are some demonstrators representing people that are happy about what's going on between the U.S. and Cuba and some that aren't.
Well, it's a real sort of dance that's going on as this normalization process occurs. On the one hand, Raul Castro has allowed dissidents and independent journalists and other people sort of, you know, outside of the communist system in Cuba to attend this summit and give their input. But by the same token, he's got a lot of hardline communists back in Cuba, dinosaurs as they're often called, who are very wary of this normalization process, and he's got to appease them too. So it's not surprising that we saw Cubans perhaps flown in here to sort of confront the dissidents at the same time out on the streets. And at the same time, you saw Cuban exiles from the United States, from Miami, who have come in and they sort of took part in the confrontation game as well. So again, it's just part of this dance, and you know, we really weren't surprised to see it.
All right, Tim Padgett, America's editor for WLRN, joining us from the summit in Panama City. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And right now, let's get some context from Guillermo Grenier, who is a professor of sociology at Florida International University. Guillermo, your thoughts on the significance of what's going on in Panama City?
Oh, it's huge. John, many ways. I mean, it was 1956 when the last face-to-face between a U.S. president and a Cuban leader took place between Eisenhower and Batista. So assuming that Raul Castro and Obama will meet, that's a historic event in and of itself. And April 15th, in 1959, is when Nixon shook hands with Fidel Castro. So you have this April event meaning a lot of things in history. But most importantly, I think, is we'll finally going to be passing out of a Cold War era where a 50-year policy that clearly should be every failed policy should be reviewed every 50 years or so. And if you intended regime change to occur because by isolating Cuba, clearly that hasn't happened. So I think that Obama has taken a bold step in trying to put some of the Cold War rhetoric and practice behind him. So I think what's going on is really, really big, both for the people in Cuba, of course, and the United States in general and the Cuban-American community in my Miami-Dade County, where I live.
Guillermo Grenier at Florida International University. Thank you so much.